It's good. You can work FT8 and do five other things at the same time. Anyway, I'm on 347 westbound by the mall. I'm going to Costco. Check out some hearing aids. What? What? Yes. NY2H mobile.
All right, well, maybe I'll send my wife so she can keep the volume on the TV down lower. So I guess, good luck with that. I'm right up by Mather and St. Charles Hospital. And the weather looks nice. Can't complain. Not too dark yet.
Yeah, that shift back to standard time, really, you see the sunset so early, you know. So I go to Long Island Bone and Joint up there near the hospital. I don't know if you do any work in there. Got some pinched nerves going on in my arm. They want to do surgery, so I got all my records. I'm going to go through them, get some maybe second opinion. See what I'm going to do. My hand is getting pretty weak, and they're claiming, well, between the arthritis, carpal tunnel, and the pinched nerves, that the muscles will atrophy if I don't do something, so we'll see. Always something as you get old, you know, but hey, consider the alternative.
Hey, did you can't age. Well, you're getting like an old radio. You need a little tune up here and there, something fixed and poked or prodded. Back to FT8, I was just, it's almost too easy for your. It's nice when something, you know, remote pops in once in a while.
The other day I did Japan. I forgot which band it was. And some of these places, I'm not really sure where they're at. I think North of Africa. I did a couple African stations, I believe, like Angola and others. No Australia or New Zealand or anything like that lately.
Yeah, I had a lot of Japan. Like you said, no, I think I got a New Zealand recently. Australia hasn't popped up. And Angola, Botswana, and Kenya, they've been kind of regular stations.
Right, Botswana also, yep. And then Canary Islands. What's the other one? Madras or something? I don't know. Yeah. So, gotta keep that ionosphere well activated, you know. There's always something going on in FT8. It's really unusual. You think about it, you know, the band you think is dead. Tune FT8 and something's going on normally.
You know, I don't believe anything the predictions tell you. I'll jump on and try when there's nothing going on. Sometimes it's so empty you just make a great remote contact.
Yeah, that is true. And you never know, you know, you don't put your call out there. If everybody's just listening and nobody's saying anything, the band might be wide open. So, alrighty. I am going to clear. I might have even passed it. Did I pass this place? I just became a member. I just passed the mall, but now I have to double back. Anyway, very good. Have a good evening. And stay well. KD2KNH, NY2H, mobile.
All right, Lou, always nice speaking with you. And, yeah, if you're at Long Island Bone and Joint and you see somebody crawling around a copy machine, probably me, because I've had that account for about 20 years. KD2KNH clear, 73.
Limark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Thank you.
Greenwich, KND. How are you, Howard?
Good evening, Rich. Doing all right. How are you?
Not bad. Hanging in there. Actually, pretty nice day today. What have you been doing to keep busy?
Coming back from Connecticut, doing some hiking Greenwich.
It was probably a nice day, right? Not too cold.
Yeah, pretty decent. It was a little cloudy up there. So it'd be sunnier, but the temperature was good.
Do you go up by yourself, or do you go up with a group of people who go hiking with you?
Today was by myself, but I do go with a group.
Yeah, you should work on some of the summits. You know, when you go hiking, I'm not sure what constitutes a summit, but I think Bear Mountain is a summit, for example. And take a QRP radio with you and get on the air, or do parks on the air.
Yeah, I'm not that advanced a hiker. I don't do any big elevation.
Yeah, that's what I say. I'm not sure what a summit is. A summit is, I believe, just the top of a hill, a mountain, whatever. It could be a variety of different things. I'm not sure if there's a definition that has to be a certain elevation. Anyway, I'm sure the hiking does you a lot of good.
And to YYC, there is a spot, Bear Mountain. You can hike or drive. It's got some nice elevation. I've been up there with 2 meters and really working all the whole tri-state area on 2 meters simplex.
Yeah, once you get a little bit of height with 2 meters, you can work very well. I think once I was working, I had a bigger antenna up. I had I forgot what it was called, but it was a 19-foot, 2-meter antenna, so my coverage was really great. And I was working, I think, the Carmel repeater, and this guy was coming down from Maine. And the trip, he was hitting the same repeater. Between the two of us, the trip was like 575 miles, which was pretty weird.
I used to go on that repeater pretty regularly, and it had really good coverage, but I don't know, I don't think it has the kind of coverage now.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I used to also do the same thing, just get on and try to hit different repeaters. There's the Tri-Mountain, that was very good. Met some interesting people up there. But maybe like everything else, there's just not that much activity up there, and then maybe once you've done it, my preference is to stay local with people that I know. Every once in a while I'll do a D-Star or higher LP. But for the most part, you know the people here, and they're people that you may meet at a particular place, and it's just a little more enjoyable sometimes.
Well, besides the less people on it, I just don't think it has the coverage for whatever reason. Maybe they changed the antenna system or something, but I remember, that repeater, get people way upstate.
It can be. Yeah, that is possible. Maybe the antenna went down, or maybe, because from where they were hitting, I think it was Tri-Mountain, was actually hitting 3 repeaters at 1.685. And, maybe that was also kind of confusing, so maybe they lowered their power or changed their antenna, or maybe some trees grew up in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, there was a station a couple of weeks ago, I forget where, way out in Connecticut on our repeater. First time I had heard him.
Yeah, there's a guy that comes in direct from Walton, Mass., I think it is. Connecticut, I'm not sure, although I do think I remember somebody coming in from there also. And there's a guy that comes up from the south, from south of Atlantic City. Also comes in directly to the repeater, but, you know, depending upon the conditions. But that's always interesting and a lot of fun. Anyway, Howard, I'm going to sign things to do and then get ready for the next later on. Have a good trip the rest of the way. And to YYC, K2KND.
All right, 7-3. What time is the net?
Well, in a while. I have an Aries net at 7:40, and then another Aries net at 8, and then the Limark net at 8:30. But I have some things to do before then.
All right, I'll try and get on the Limark net. 7-3 and 2 YYC.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
From 82DK. How are you this evening?
I'm good. This is Jim from Bayport, if you don't remember.
Hey, Jim, how you doing? I thought I recognized the call. It's been a while.
Indeed. I haven't heard you in a bit. How you been?
Oh, not too bad. Haven't really been playing radio much. My father-in-law has got Alzheimer's, and he's got a truck lease, and he can't drive anymore. So my wife took over his lease, saved them some money, and we got a second car, well, third car. I don't have a ham ring in that car, so she's been driving my truck. So she's not a ham, and so she's got the radio, the truck with the radio, and I've got a truck without a radio.
Well, there are problems in that to fix. Best of health to who's ever concerned. It's troubling time.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, day before yesterday was a bit of an adventure here. I've got chickens, and one of them, well, he was an accident. He came up from a chick as a rooster, and he is extremely aggressive, and I was repairing my deck, and he came after me and spurred my with his, you know, the sharp things on the back of their legs, the spurs. He got my hand, and, man, my hand is swollen. It's infected. I got a tetanus shot, antibiotics. Freaking hand, it looks like, you know, like a surgical glove when you blow air into it. Back to you, Jim.
Yikes, those critters can be, dicey.
Yeah, maybe diced is a good word for it. All sliced up on the cooking tray, because he's, I don't want to hurt him. I kind of like him, and he's a beautiful bird. But my God, I can't have this either.
Yeah, I draw the line when animals come in my house. If they come in my body, their day is done. That's unacceptable. Yeah, I've heard they can be kind of crazy. A similar situation happened to a neighbor of mine here a number of years ago. Had a similar demise.
So what's new over Bayport Way?
Well, your old place is looking good. The mansion next door, crowds out, the sun is largely done. Crazy. Fire Palm wants to put up a giant cell tower. The hood. And, Cool is putting up a giant solar panel array behind my house over the parking lot, which is probably going to block all of my RF to the west, all of my sunsets from the west. God knows what it's going to do for RFI. The school's building a safe space so that if kids feel that their cat, I think it is, that they pant the shit in. So it's a crazy world.
Yeah, I don't get it. I work with guys that have solar panels, but they also drive electric cars, so it sort of works out for them. But, I looked into solar, and, you know, by the time everything is installed and paid off, you got to replace them. So I don't know. I don't get it. I like the concept. I don't like the RFI, and, the price benefit just, to me, it isn't there.
I had a great conversation a year or two ago with a guy who was the lead engineer for the Brookhaven National Lab solar farm. And they bulldozed 200 acres of, pine barrens, wilderness, to build this solar farm. And that guy, he kind of believed in the concept of solar, but he says, there's no way that we did better than what we made than what was there for the planet. There's no way.
Yeah, you know what? I was kind of wondering that. Just north of Sunrise, I don't remember the name of the road, but just east of William Floyd Parkway, that road that runs parallel to Sunrise. In fact, you can see Sunrise from it. I wouldn't say it's the service road. It is a named road, but there's an airport there, and it used to be what was an airport with pine barrens, and it's all torn down now, and they're building solar farms there.
Wow. I don't think I've seen that. Interesting. I dabble in small solar, you know, power radios and stuff like that, and you quickly become aware that it's ridiculously cost ineffective. It's neat to be able to do it. You can do some fun stuff with it, but it's cost ineffective by great margins.
Oh, but you're saving the planet, man.
I think George Carlin had the best philosophy on that issue.
All right, I'm a George Carlin fan, so you're going to have to fill me in on this one.
Oh, he had a great shtick where he said, us save the planet will shake us off like a bad case of fleas.
Yeah, I think I remember that routine. I saw him one of his last tours at Westbury Music Fair. And, in his later days, man, he was acerbic. I don't know how else to put it. You know, he was like he had this whole routine on suicide and how if you're no good for this world, you should just do yourself in. And It was funny, but it was strange at the same time.
I always enjoyed his comedy, and in his later years, his comedy waned and his sarcasm got very negative down and whatnot. I didn't appreciate it at the time. Now it turns out I found he was front of the money. So his entertainment value might have gone down, but his disseminating the word, it got better. Depressing when you know the truth.
Yeah, well, you know, an interesting bit of George Carlin trivia is I was listening to, I don't know, it was one of those FM stations below 92, you know, the college and nonprofits. I almost want to say it was WUSB out of Stony Brook University, and they had a contest, and you had to call up and you had to tell them the 7 dirty words you can't say on television, and well, I was able to do that.
I'm curious what you want. It reminds me of a story. I was driving to Minneapolis to be involved in a computer trade show for a small computer company in Selden, and early personal computer stuff. And we're listening to the radio in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of that trip. And the dawn is breaking there. They're doing a call-in radio contest, and the prize was 100 chickens. Funny how the streams cross. So what did you win?
What I won, I think it was like a $50 gift card for a restaurant or something. Man, this was like 15, 20 years ago. I'm not even sure I remember.
Based on the circles you're describing, you probably crossed paths with John Valby somewhere along the way.
John Valby, now he, wasn't he the guy you, was also known as Dr. Dirty? He made those dirty song parodies.
The very one. Yes, that's the guy, definitely.
Yeah, now there's a name I haven't heard in a long time. And then, what was the other guy? He was a comedian. He had his own, I forget what they were. They weren't 1-900 numbers, but he would say, use your finger, and you would dial the phone, and Jackie Martling.
The name sounds familiar. I don't recall hearing him, but I think I've heard references to them from the same folks that were listening to the other guys.
Yeah, I had, George Carlin, you know, I had his routines on LP, along with Cheech and Chong. Song albums were funny.
I never followed them, but it was interesting. I ran into a video that I'm going to watch maybe tonight of George Carlin addressing the National Press Club. Same body that Kennedy's speech on the secret societies was given at. I have a funny feeling that George Carlin's speech had some more interesting stuff in it than I had ever realized. So I'm going to listen to it when I get a chance. George Carlin at the National Press Club. Scratch your head. Interesting.
Well, this one I'm going to look up. See if that's on YouTube. That I have not heard of.
Yeah, I just watched the opening, and it was, you know, just typical, you know, soft start, but it looked like it was going somewhere fun, or at least interesting, I should say.
Yeah, definitely. I'll check that out. So what is this now? The safe space? What is that all about now?
My wife told me about it. I haven't really dug into the details yet, but time to start showing up at these board meetings again and making a stink. Felt like I didn't have the standing lately because my kids are long past out of the school, but I think it's time to show up at these things and jot them down.
Well, more power to you, but from my experience, it won't do a damn bit of good.
Not until we all show up. I mean, everybody. Because it's just getting crazy. They got the concept of the First Amendment all twisted around in a pretzel. You know, I want to be a turnip. I'm going to be called the turnip. Well, you can call yourself a turnip all you want. I can call you a butthole. That's how it goes.
You know, I'm still a working stiff, so I still get work emails, and the latest thing now is in the signature, people list what their pronouns are. And, all right, fine. You know, if you're a he and you want to be a she, that's fine. You know, I've got no problem with that. But they? What does that mean, they? You know, does that mean that you have two bodies? You're two humans. I don't get it. They is plural. You know, I mean, you know, maybe there needs to be another pronoun that's not a he, not a she, but a they. I don't know. That just kind of rubs me.
If you steal a dollar, it's stealing. Steal a car, it's stealing. You steal a word, it's stealing. Except it's a bigger theft, because it affects a whole lot more people. They make it impossible to communicate when they, you know, if you call a pizza and an apple, well, we're going to call them both apples now. How the heck do you buy a pizza? That's what's going on. It's the undermining of the language, so you can't communicate.
How do you steal a word? Speak that.
W2OSR.
W2OSR. ADTDK and KD2VHD. How are you?
All right. I heard you say hello, and there was somebody else there. It was a little doubling, but in any case, I will tell you a little story on the next go-around about my experience at Subway today. Who's next?
MKD2VHD. Interesting to hear the story about Subway. I think I'll just to clarify what my stance is, you know, anybody's entitled to call anything they want. They're not entitled to enforce somebody else to call anything at all what they want, under the principles in our Constitution anyway, and probably beyond that, but we'll go with that. Over to John.
Freedom of speech. Isn't that what that is?
Yeah, definitely go ahead with your Subway story, ADTDK.
Just give me a second. I got to blow my nose and I can talk.
Is there another station that wanted to identify?
You won't get an identification from that guy.
Okay, it's W2OSR. I'm back.
Just wanted to...
let me make sure I got it.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I go to Subway today. A gentleman that was in the store that made my sandwiches has made sandwiches for me before. Now, he's a gentleman who is probably of Hispanic heritage. He had his lipstick on. He had his eyes made up. He's reasonably pleasant to talk to, but I can't help but feel that he's totally confused about who or what he is.
Well, that happens, but then again, you know, you go back even as far as the late 70s and 80s, you know, popular music artists were that way, you know. I mean, you know, mainstream stuff, you know, like what was the Culture Club, Boy George, but, you know, a lot of that punk rock and, you know, I mean, I got to admit, I listened to that stuff back in the day, so, but, yeah, to have that guy serve you a sandwich, yeah.
I was waiting to see anybody.
Regret to inform you folks that I got to bang out of this conversation because I got
to be a little adjustment to get used to.
We'll be back.
I've been there for a while now. The music you were listening to was the music I was turning off because I'm probably considerably older than you guys are.
KD2VHD, I'll be back in a few minutes.
All right, KD2VHD, you doubled pretty badly. Go ahead again with what you said. There was a major or triple doubling going on.
Okay, I thought I had it because I waited long enough. Let this thing chirp. Yeah, that's better. Now, as I said, the music you were listening to was the music I was turning off, probably because I'm considerably older than you are.
Well, that's quite possible. I'm not the oldest guy in the ham radio world, but I'm in my late 50s.
My point was proven. I'm 30 years older than you are.
Well, you said damn sprightly for a guy who's 30 years my senior, man.
Yeah,
keep letting this forget to let this church. Richard's going to beat me up again. Okay, no,
PhD.
Fortunately, my brain is still young. My body, however, complains at me daily.
Well, that's the way, for sure, for sure. I mean, even, I, you know what, I don't even think I have a right complaining that, you know, if you're 30 years older than I am, but, man, you know, if it's rainy outside, my knees hurt, it's, things don't work the way they used to work, and, every year it just gets a little worse.
Yeah, my wife just had her second knee replaced, at the beginning of October. She's just about old, you know, completely recovered now. We got a little ways to go. And my right knee is starting to give me a little bit of agita, so I think we'll be going next for one.
Hey, I'm going to have to go on the side here. I've got animals here. I've got two cats that do not get along, and a dog upstairs who's breaking up their fighting. So, I think she's been successful, but I got to go make sure there's not fur and blood everywhere.
Okay. I guess the dog thinks she's the alpha dog, and the cats are still trying to figure out who's the alpha cat. All right, have fun, W2OSR.
All right, W2OSR 82DK. I'll be back in a bit.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
AD2VHD.
AD2VHD. AD2DK.
Sorry about the awkward exit. I had just called away to move some furniture. Missed out on some good conversation, I think.
Well, as fate would have it, you didn't. I had to run upstairs. I have two cats. They do not get along. They fight, and one of them lives down here in the shack. So he's separated from the other two. But he was up there. He got into it with the other one, and the dog broke it up. But this one. He came, the other one, he come back down here, and he's sitting here, and I don't know, he's licking himself, so he's been fighting.
So you were just saying there was a cat fight and a dog broken up? That's a story. I love it.
Yeah, the dog does not stand for any roughhousing. You know, even I mean, she's young, but my old dog, when my kids were little, I mean, even if, you know, me and the kids would roughhouse, the dog wanted nothing to, oh, man, she had to be right in the middle of it. Do not, oh, wait, no, she definitely had to break it all up.
That's funny. I never had pets as an animal as a kid, or growing up, and now as I'm almost 60, the wife bought a dog. Cute as a button, mall sheep. That she kind of coerces me to say it's a, you know, it's a great dog. I mean, it's a great dog for a dog. It's all new to me, but they certainly have their own little personalities, no doubt about it.
Well, that's true, and even different breeds have their own personalities. I've always had dogs ever since I was a little kid, and well, you know, I've always kind of gravitated towards. I call them action dogs, you know, retrievers and shepherds, and not German shepherds, but you know, herding dogs, and you know, retrievers have their own thing, and herding dogs. But you know, I would say the thing that both of those breeds have in common is you know, they're very protective of their family, and even if you know, I would say they're even more protective of the kids. And, you know, which was a good thing growing up, but, oh man, I forgot what I was going to say. I got too much going on here. Back to you.
I'm still not won over on the whole dog thing, but I have to admit the dog the wife brought home is the cutest thing. It really is. And it's true what they say. You lock your wife and your dog in a trunk, open them up, the trunk up, 3 hours later, one of them's going to lick you. Not both.
Well, a lot to be said for that. I come home from work and the dog is happy to see me. The wife maybe not so much if she's in one of her moods.
Yes, indeed. It's true. The dog is always happy to see you. It's bizarre.
I'm going to go on the side, Jim. I've got some down here.
Radio is relatively new to me, and dogs are even a little newer than that.
Rebuilding an old Nikon binocular microscope. We're getting rid of it at work, and I rescued it like 2 years ago and gave it to the guys in the machine shop to play with, and they never did anything with it, so I ended up taking it home and took it all apart. You know, all the lubrication and the focusing rack had just turned into this sticky, nasty mess. It wouldn't focus. Took that apart, and ball bearings come out everywhere, all over the floor. I think I got them all, and repainted the base and I made it pretty. And now I'm working on the illuminator.
I haven't heard of one of them devices in quite some time. I used to use them when I worked on hybrids back 40 years ago.
Well, this thing probably is, maybe 20, 30 years old, if not more. It's a Nikon SMZ1. Where did you work on?
Hybrid Technology Microelectronics at ILC Data Device Corporation in Bohemia.
Oh, I know them very well. Interviewed there a bunch of times. Never took the job offers, but DDC they are now. And, well, actually, no, they're not even DDC anymore. They changed to something else. They got bought out by some private equity firm, and they've since changed their name. But at work, I use their resolver to digital converter ICs.
Funny, it's a small world, ain't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to think who their VP of engineering. He drove this wacky electric car that he built. John something or other.
Well, I worked for an engineer who was, I think he was a relatively a new guy there at the time. His name was John Klubnik.
No, that's not the name. I'd have to go dig it in my phone. But yeah, he before electric cars were a thing, he built his own, and ugly car, really really ugly car. But it was like cutting edge stuff. Vector drives and all sorts of cool stuff that he had put in this.
Interesting. Just a note, all electric cars were ugly before the Tesla, for some reason. That seemed to be a thing.
Yeah, that's for sure. And even still, a lot of electric cars, Press 2W2PW, I don't know if you know him, he bought the Hyundai Ioniq 5. Nice car. A little weird looking. I drove it. Oh my God, Jim, this thing is quick. This car is fast. I've got a 2015 Mustang GT, and this Hyundai would eat it for breakfast from 0 to 40. But it's weird looking. It's, give me a normal looking car. I wouldn't mind driving an electric car. I watch them pass me on the left in the HOV lane going to work. Every day, and I wish I was over there. But as far as Tesla goes, a coworker bought the Model 3, and the extent of all the instrumentation, all the controls, except for the turn signal, is this giant touchscreen in the middle of the car. There is nothing in front of you. There's no gauges. There's nothing but a blank dashboard with with what looks like a laptop screen sticking up out of the center of the dash. Over.
The one truly silly thing in the whole car. Silly looking thing in the whole car. It seems like it'd be a module that you could replace or upgrade or adapt or upsize or downsize, but no, it's permanent. I don't get why they use that design model. It's kind of weird. But the cars are handsome. They have a certain design ethic that's admirable. Not a big fan of a 1,000-pound empty gas tank, though. I think the idea of powering a car on batteries only is idiotic. The electric drivetrain is terrific and genius. It eliminates a whole lot of problems with the narrow power band internal combustion engine, but to not have a generator on board seems dumb to me.
You know, I always kind of envisioned, you know, an electric car that had a very, very highly efficient, you know, internal combustion engine, single speed, you know, like a lawnmower engine, you know, 3,600 RPM or whatever they are, that just runs hyper efficient at that speed. And if you run into a bind, you start that thing up and it charges your battery.
Well, I invented, what do they call it? What's Elon Musk's Skynet, or the satellite-based internet? I invented that 40 years ago. So what? Over a beer. I drew it on a napkin. Made it happen. Your architecture for an electric car, I also invented 40 years ago. So what? I did it on a napkin. It doesn't mean anything. But I think your idea is perfect.
Oh, yeah. We all have a lot of perfect ideas. We just, you know, we're not independently wealthy, and we don't have financial backers, and, you know, you know, I don't know. I look at guys like Jeff Bezos and, you know, all of the, I don't know. I mean, you're in Bayport, right? So I don't know if you remember what Sable used to be like with all the little small businesses, and, you know, when you needed clothes, you went downtown Sable and you bought clothes. You know, you didn't go to Walmart, you didn't go to Kmart, or you didn't order on Amazon. You know, it was all these little shops, right? And these little shops, they did pretty well for themselves. My grandfather had a marina in Sable, and there was a little shop in Sable that sold kids' clothes called Lad and Lassie. And the guy who owned it, he's passed away, I think 2 years ago. Birch Diamond was his name. But this little shop, man, he had this giant yacht. And he made his living from this little shop selling kids' clothes.
That's interesting. There's an observation I made. I guess I first came upon the idea when I was in Chicago with my son. He wanted to go to a welding and fabrication convention, so we went to Chicago, and we visited their, I think it's a Miracle Mile, they call it. It's a kind of a high-end shopping district. Cold night, we kind of walked down the street looking at all the stores, and after the, you know, maybe the seventh or eighth or ninth store, I'm like, I said to him, I said, is there anything we need in that store? And you just from the front window, you're like, no. So we went to dozens more, stopped in front of dozens more stores. Anything we need in that store? No. Anything we need in that store? No. There was nothing that anybody needed in these stores. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, from $7,000 handbags to ridiculous shoes to... There was nothing in any of these stores. Millions of dollars of merchandise. That nothing that anybody needed. I thought that was really weird.
Well, you know, that's how it is now. And, well, I mean... You're hop, skip, and a jump from downtown Sable. I mean, is there anything you actually need in downtown Sable anymore? There's nice places to eat, but, you know, as far as shops, when I was growing up in Bayport, you know, you need something, you went to Sable and you got it. You know, you had Greaves, it was a stationery store, they had everything under the sun. The pharmacy was there. There was a National 5 and 10 store. They had everything in there. A little store called Dick's Hobbyland. That was like the penultimate hobby store. You were into trains, that's where you went. If you wanted to build models, that's where you went. If you wanted to buy a metal detector to find coins in the schoolyard, you went to Dick's Hobbyland. I really miss that store.
Wow, that was before my time. But yeah, that was exactly what I was getting at. Most of Sable now, there's nothing you need. there's cute stuff you might want to decorate your porch for a holiday, but it was nothing hard that nothing at all that you need. That's weird. Certainly not a ballon or a piece of coax. But how about a ballpoint pen or a hatchet?
Well, I mean, even a ballon or a piece of coax, right? There was George's TV, and then the really good place was T&M Electronics in Patchogue, over just west of Swan Bakery. They were up in business until I think even the early 90s, and then the restaurant next door to them in the little strip mall they were in caught fire, and that was the end of them. But T&M Electronics, you had George's TV. You needed something, you could run out and get it. Now it's Amazon, DigiKey, where you can't run out and get stuff.
Absolutely concur. T&M Electronics, I discovered sometime when I moved over here to Maplewood in 91. It's a great resource. But I was kind of out of the electronics hobby from about 1986, when I got fired out of DTC because I was a lousy technician. I got in the fire service, did a career there, and only after I retired did I kind of get back into hobbyist electronics, and here I am. But T&M Electronics was a definite in the candy store field. They definitely had the stuff that nobody else did.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. I remember as a kid, my eyes would light up when I saw an old radio or a TV out at the curb, and I'd pull all the tubes out of them, and I'd haul them off to T&M to test them out to see if they were any good before I put them into my stock.
Wow, I never dabbled in the tube stuff. I was younger than that, but I remember I was exposed to them a little bit, but never actually did anything with them. I understand they actually have some attributes that are not matched by the modern stuff.
Well, they do, but they don't. A lot of it is legend, but when I was growing up, the school library, transistors were a thing, ICs were a thing, but all the books in the school, all the old ham radio books, that was all tubes. So that's what I knew. So that's what I played with, and they were a thing. Even today, they still fascinate me. I've got my collection of boat anchors here. Tubes fascinate me.
That reminds me to backtrack a step or two. You mentioning automotive ethics, not ethics, but aesthetics. And my most favorite automotive aesthetic is your 1966 model. That's just heaven to me.
Yeah, a car you could drive, and you never have to look at anything. You just reach out, and you know where every control is, and you want the wipers on, you turn the wipers on. You want to turn the radio up, you turn the radio up. No menus, no touch screens. You want to turn the high beams on, you stomp around with your left foot until you find the button.
Yeah, a big clicky button. Yep, absolutely. I had a 74 myself, but miss it terribly.
Yeah, Jim, man. 82 DK for ID. I've always really enjoyed buying a new car, but between going to the dealer and saying, well, what's the price? Well, it's what you see on the sticker, but we're going to add $5,000 to that, or $10,000 to that. And I bought a brand new truck in 2014. I didn't put a lot of miles on it. It's 110,000 miles on it now. And the thing is rusting. It's outer body rust through. You push on it in certain spots, your finger will go through. What the heck is that? I'm just kind of disheartened by it all. You get a basic car for $40,000 now, and it's junk.
Yeah, it's definitely disheartening. I'm enjoying being a log job now. I got a 2018 F-150 that I special ordered. And other than the fact that the motor sounds like absolute hell, there's actually a service bulletin that has a video of the truck saying, this is a normal motor sound. It is not. It sounds like a diesel. It sounds like hell. But it works fine. It does what it's supposed to do. Very nice to drive. Went to the New York Auto Show last year. Didn't see anything I wanted anymore than mine, which didn't sound like a bucket of bolts.
I hear that, sir. My truck's a 2014. It's a GMC Sierra. It's got a bulletproof drivetrain. I'll give it that. The 5.3 liter V8. You can't kill that thing. A six speed automatic transmission. Much more reliable than the 4-speed it replaced. It is not at all refined. I'll say that. The transmission has always been clunky and indecisive, but I'll give it that. You know, I go out there, it always starts, but the rust, man, the rust is just, I can't believe it. Anyway, what motor do you have in the F-150?
I have the 5-liter Coyote, which is perfect for my needs. I have a heavy payload package truck that I put a slot-out camper on, kind of max out all the limits. It works good. It's got all the power I need.
Yeah, that 5-liter Coyote is—it's actually a good engine. I have that in my 2015 Mustang. It's a big engine, physically big engine. I hang out with a lot of car guys, and they say, "Well, I'd love to put a Coyote in my project car, but it won't fit." Well, I'm like, "So what are you going to put in there?" "Oh, I think I'm going to go with the big block Chevy." It's like, "Wait a minute. Big block Chevy fits, but the Coyote doesn't."
I guess that explains why my engine bay looks so full. I didn't realize that that was a thing.
Oh, it's a very tall engine, right? You know, it's four valve per cylinder. So there's four camshafts in there. I've had my Mustang engine apart when I put a supercharger on it. And, man, there's four timing chains on that thing. So you got two that go from the crankshaft all the way up to each cylinder head, one on each side, and then there's another timing chain between two sprockets on the head. The big timing chain drives one of the cams, and then there's a smaller timing chain which connects the two.
That's a lot of crap spinning around. Yikes. I like the idea of the supercharger idea. I will not buy a gasoline-powered turbocharger motor. Maybe you can't get one of these Broncos without it, because it's just the word that they like to use. It's unsustainable. It's not a viable option. Dreadful car. Runs turbochargers for a million miles. Gasoline engines do not.
Well, I mean, they can. Let's put it that way. A diesel engine, generally, with 18, 20 to 1 compression, they're pretty beefy to begin with. And without a turbo, well, they really don't make a lot of power. But, you got these companies that take an engine and, all right, well, we'll beef it up to be turbocharged. And it's just not enough, right? Where was I going with that? A turbo engine in a commercial application where it's running all the time, that's a perfect application for it. But stop and go, turn it on, turn it off. Meanwhile, your oil is sitting there cooking in the hot turbocharger. I bought a turbo-powered car way back when. I had a 1990 Ford Probe GT, which had a 2.2-liter Mazda-built engine with a turbo on it. It was a fun car to drive, except for the turbo lag. I hated that. But, if you didn't run that thing down after you parked it in the driveway, let it run for a few minutes to cool everything down, the oil would turn black, like jet black, within 1,000 miles.
Yeah, the thing that those are all real concerns. The thing that always spooked me and seemed to do them in was the fact that the gas engine has such a corrosive exhaust stream. that eats up the turbos, and with the junk that, like with the Fords, had all kinds of problems when they put fuel injection on the motors, created an issue where they would get build up of carbon on, I think, on the intake valve, if I'm not mistaken. And once you hit 60,000 miles, chunks started coming off, and they destroyed the turbos, and there's no fixing it. It was, you just need a whole new motor. Oh, great. 60,000 miles, I need a new motor. I put 215,000 on my Honda Element, didn't ever need a new motor.
Well, that's the thing, and that's you know, one of the things that are bugging me about this whole new car thing. I don't know, back in the 60s, 80,000 miles, and the thing was puffing blue smoke, and then the 70s was a little better. 80s, it was okay, but now, 90s, Toyota Camry from the 90s, this damn thing will go forever. But cars nowadays, they're made to be leased and turned in and then auctioned off overseas. I just don't think they have the staying power that they used to have. Case in point, I had a 1989 Ford Escort GT. 1.9-liter, four-cylinder, normally aspirated. It was fuel-injected, which was a little uncommon. Multi-port fuel-injected at that, which was a little uncommon for that time. But I personally put 277,000 miles on that car and then gave it to my uncle at the time, who was down on his luck. And he went and put another 130 on it.
Nice. That's a success story. There was a high point in as the technology towards reliability kind of came in. I had one example. I had a Chevy Caprice that I didn't have in very long, but it had a 305 small block, a throttle body fuel injection. Any auto snob would scoff at the whole thing, but what a deadly reliable car it was.
Yeah, that's true, for sure. The 305 wasn't a bad motor. They had their run with probably in the mid 80s, like 84, I think, was the peak year for soft camshafts. The camshafts would go. But, the 305 was never a performance motor. The small block Chevys that we've all come to know and love had a 4-inch bore. The 305 had a 3.75-inch bore, 3 3/4-inch bore. And that tended to limit the size of the valves that they could put in. But it was definitely a really, really good engine. It wasn't known for its performance, but I have seen 305s with 450,000 miles on them that are still going.
And that throttle body fuel injection, anybody could work on it. It was just so straightforward. Maybe not the epitome of efficiency, but it worked. It cut great mileage. It got plenty of power. Damn thing worked.
Well, that's for sure. I think I was telling you earlier about my father-in-law with the Alzheimer's, and I have his Dodge Ram. Thing's only got 22,000 miles on it, and already the motor is ticking. And I know what it is. It's a common problem for the Hemi engine. Is the needle bearings and the roller valve lifters go, and then the rollers don't spin anymore, and the rollers run against the cam and wear out the cam, and the rollers aren't around anymore after that. This has been a thing since 2009, and they haven't fixed it, and I guess they have no reason to. Some guys it happens at 40,000, some guys it happens earlier. Most guys, they get over 100,000 miles before it happens, but then you're out of warranty.
Yeah, that's some mess. And those suckers, they rust, right? They rust worse than the Chevys. A friend of mine had a little frame rust in half on Dodge.
Well, my jury's out on that. Got no rust on the Dodge. My GMC is nothing but rust. The frame and the bolts underneath and outer body rust through. It's rust crazy. You know, I mean, I kind of like driving the Dodge. It drives very, very nice. The it has an 8-speed ZF automatic transmission, which is really nice. Blows the hell out of my